Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Dark Silhouettes and Other Strange Stories, Volume 2, Story 1. I've got several stories, but I'll start with one that happened several months ago. I was in the back room of my house on the computer, and it had gotten dark. My husband and son were going to be home in a while, and I hadn't turned on any lights in the front of the house yet. Normally, my front porch light is always on by dusk, so I hear my husband messing with the front door lock. It was kind of tricky at times, being almost 100 years old, and then shaking around the whole fixture, like when you're goofing around and pretending you're trying to get in a locked door. So I'm thinking he's messing with me because they can't see the lock in the door. And as I'm walking towards the front of the house, I hollered, "Knock it off!" They stopped. And then I started wondering why they were home about 45 minutes early. They weren't home. I turned on the porch light and no one was there. I went and locked up the rest of the house. A year earlier, someone had stolen a bike out of our backyard in the morning when we were all home. I was sitting there with the back door wide open when it happened. Had no idea until a couple of hours later. And this was all in a good neighborhood. My other story involves my sister and an old boyfriend, which were on a little hike in Napa County. It was back in the 80s, and they saw something pinkish down a ravine. They went to investigate and found it to be a woman's dead body. The sheriff said it was probably something to do with drugs or prostitution, and they would get bodies dumped there sometimes from the East Bay. Yeah, that really freaked my sister out. Then this other story. This was on a trip to LA back in the 90s. We decided to do the Hollywood tourist thing, my husband's son, maybe 8 at the time, and I. It was getting kind of late and we needed to get back on 101 to go to our hotel, and dang, we missed the exit. There was a Home Depot coming up, so we figured just turn there, go around the block, and back up to the freeway. Well, as soon as we made the second right, we knew this had been a really bad idea. The road was this horseshoe shape, and there was furniture and stuff piled on the road. Like it was partially blocked. Seriously, the absolute most frightening place I've ever seen in a city. And I've been lost in some bad places on occasion. But I have never felt terrified like I did at this place. Here we are, this suburban family in a Buick, driving in this place we have zero business in. As we went around the sharp bend, to left were some guys walking around under a building of some kind that was open, like a parking structure. All I could think of was it looked like we were in the middle of a movie about gangs and we were going to be killed. I finally said, "Get us out of here." My husband said, "I am." And as we approached the end of the horseshoe to get back on the street to take us to Sunset, we were supposed to stop, but there was a car slowing down on the street in front of us, about to block us, and my husband didn't stop and gunned it out of there. This morning, I looked up on Google Map, the Home Depot, and found the location. Then I took a little walk on the route via Google. Yep, that was it. It looks a little different now, almost 20 years later, as the place where those guys were at is now a homeless facility. It was so close to the freeway, and yet a million miles away. Lesson is, never get off a main road in a city you don't know. Next story. My first experience that terrified me on what might be out there happened in 2004. I was in Boy Scout camp, Camp Royan, to be specific. It was a great place, lots of activities, and a nurse that was really good looking, and we were walking through Poison Oak to go see her. An excellent place for a boy just hitting his teenage years. Anyway, walking back from a compass and mapping course, I was dragging a walking stick, drawing waves in the loose dirt on this kind of low-used road back to my troop's campsite. The road had a really deep ditch running parallel next to it, with steep walls. It was quite a pit. My walking stick was making a bit of a scratching noise, when all of a sudden I heard a scratching noise coming from the ditch, almost mimicking my stick noises. Oh great, I thought. The older boys from my troop are messing with me again, as they had the previous night while I was trying to sleep in my tent. I just kept walking and doodling my little design into the earth. As I went another 50 or so feet, I heard it again. Slightly peeved, I started scratching up a storm. No scratching response, just a snap, and a tan body flying up and out of what seemed like a 20-foot vertical jump. I thought, wow, look at that deer jump. Then, following the body with its tail fluttering around. I knew this wasn't a deer. I knew right away it was a mountain lion. Being from a forest, I knew mountain lions are incredibly dangerous, especially ones that are paralleling you. I dropped my stick, pulled up my pants, and booked it to my campsite. Told my scoutmaster, he told the management of the camp. Neither of them believed me, and I was actually told not to talk about it to the other scouts, as I might make everyone afraid. The next evening, I guess, fish and game, got a call from a rancher not a mile away about a huge cougar, and came out to the camp. Camp staff then asked me to tell Fish and Game what I saw, which I did, but all jokes aside, it was terrifying. Then, next on the list, I was 17 then, completely done with Boy Scouts and an eagle, my attention turned to girls. I was hanging out with this girl who lived in a different neighborhood. The quickest route to her house was walking through the forest minutes at a brisk pace. I didn't drive to her house because I liked walking with her, and it broke the ice well for us on our little dates. She was over at my house one night, and it was getting dark. I told her if she were to stay, we could catch a movie, and I'd walk her home in the dark before her curfew at 10 p.m. on school nights. When it was 9:40, I started to walk her home. I walked her through the trail, through a valley, then up a small ridge, then into her neighborhood. After my well-deserved smooch at her doorstep, I dipped back into the woods and was ready to get home. Armed with only a mag light, I trekked down the ridgeline we had walked only 15 minutes or so before. This little trail really isn't used by anyone but neighborhood kids. It wasn't marked or recognized. Some of the parents did know of it, but really never used it as they obviously had cars. Anyways, walking down, it was fun for me. I'd walked it before at night many times, sometimes without a flashlight. However, the denseness of the trees made this stretch of wilderness kind of scary at night. I don't believe there was a moon out, even this particular night. It was dark. Walking down the ridge, getting close to the valley, both sections were heavily forested. Now walking down the small little path about three quarters down the ridge, I saw a reflection. It looked like a bike reflector. Weird, I thought, as I walked closer to it, proceeding down the trail. As I got closer, I started getting nervous. Who would leave a bike out here? That wasn't there when I walked up a little bit ago. Sweeping the brush, I looked and didn't see anyone, despite feeling incredibly uneasy about the situation. Walking closer and closer to the bike I shined the light on, must have been 5 feet away from it. What I thought was bicycle reflectors were two huge eyes. For a millisecond, me and this animal locked eyes, and I was frozen in fear, looking into the green, golf ball-sized, massively spaced apart eyes. In an instant, the eyes were gone and replaced with a thud and some kicked-up dust filling the beam of my mag light. I don't to this day know what it was. I want to know. We have lions, black bear, and coyotes, but those eyes were just too big to assign to a black bear. Running backwards, facing the area of the encounter on my way home, I really think my mag light saved me from something the size of a linebacker with teeth hitting me. I do think, from the incredible dark to a mag light in the face, I may have temporarily blinded this mystery animal and escaped. Next story. Well, this actually happened a few months ago, maybe more, maybe a year. I was on vacation from work and went to stay at my dad's house to do some side work and make some extra cash. Anyway, we got off work one day and ate supper, the usual. I turned in for the night and was listening to the Hagman and Hagman show, or Coast to Coast AM, I forget which. As I started to doze off, I'm listening to the guy on the radio talk. His voice kind of changes, and he says something to the effect of, "Now, this is how we summon a demon," and then starts chanting in a strange language. I'm almost asleep, but I feel a surge of adrenaline as I get a sinking feeling of pure dread. I was laying kind of on my side at the time, and I felt a very strong presence behind me. I kind of turned my head to look behind me, and there it was, blacker than black. It looked like a huge humanoid mass of black with red eyes. As soon as I saw it, I became paralyzed. Not with fear, I mean literally paralyzed. Somehow I was face down on the bed and it felt as if my whole body was being crushed into the bed. I had recently given my life to Jesus Christ and knew there is power in his name. As I tried to call out, I felt my vocals being squeezed and I couldn't get out anything. Then, with every fiber of my being, I managed to get out the name Jesus. I just barely got it out, but instantly the grip on my throat and body loosened. I wasted no time. "In the name of Jesus, get out," I gasped. I was able to sit up in bed then, and the thing fled as I unleashed prayers against it. I was scared shitless. I went over and turned on the light and sat there panting. The radio show was still on in the background. Later, I played it back, and whatever I had heard was not on the audio, so I don't know what I heard. I have my own theories as to why I was attacked, but I don't want to bore you with useless details. All I can tell you is that there is power in the name of Jesus. I was a believer in Christ then, but still on the fence about everything. I had read about in the Bible about casting out demons in his name, but that night made a full believer out of me. It was probably God's way of showing me his word is true. And that's my story. Next story. This story popped in my head, and it happened about 10 years ago. It was a couple of days after my birthday, and I had gotten a new fishing pole. I drove to one of the easiest fishing holes to get to because I only had a few hours. This spot is a local favorite fishing spot, and in the summer months, a swimming hole. It's on the Watauga River in North Carolina. So I get there and load all my fishing gear, food, and a camp chair. About 10 minutes into fishing, I get that eerie feeling that I need to get the heck out of Dodge. At first, I ignored it, just thinking that I just creeped myself out somehow. It was strange that no one was there at that time. It's usually packed. About 5 minutes later, my skin starts to crawl, my adrenaline starts to pump, and my heart is racing. The dread feeling washed over me, the feeling of I am going to die. I jumped up, threw all of my fishing stuff in the back of my blazer. I started to pull out of the little gravel lot when a little red car and a blue truck almost nailed me, whipping into the lot. Around that time, there was a lot of meth deals using going on at night in that area, and I thought it was a few tweaks. I didn't want any part of that deal, so I took off, and the blue truck whipped out behind me. I floored it. I think I shot up to 60 or 65 miles an hour on that little dirt road, and I lost the blue truck in about a mile. When I got home, after I calmed down, I started to think I was being silly and that no one was out to get me. That maybe they were just turning around or racing, something along those lines. A few days later, my grandmother called me freaking out. She lives only a couple of miles from there. She said the police had found a dead body across the river where I had been fishing at. She said he was killed the day I was down there. I didn't put two and two together till later, when it was in the papers that the murderers drove a little red Cavalier. They think the blue truck belonged to the victim, who was robbed, stripped, and murdered. Drugs might have been involved. The killers were a 14-year-old girl, her boyfriend, and one of their moms. I've been back a few times, but I always carry when I go, just in case I run into any more crazies. Next story. My family had access to a collection of antique rail equipment. A few years ago, there was a 1954 Pullman sleeper car there with a lounge. I slept in it one night with my sister and her husband in the next room. Just for good measure, I had a 357 under my blanket, but was feeling pretty safe and was ready to get some sleep. A thin sliver of light under the door from the hallway very dimly lit the room. The generator had a pleasant hum. Just as I was drifting off, something very startling happened. Someone screamed loudly right in my face and grabbed my leg very roughly and shook me. I covered my head with my arms and swung at whatever it was in the dark. There was nothing. All was now peaceful again except for the ringing in my ears. I sat there for hours afterwards, looking and listening and still feeling where the fingers had dug into my leg through the blanket. There was nothing to do except to chalk it up to some weird dream. I did find out the next day, though, that other people had creepy encounters in that same Pullman car, and that at least one person had refused to ever go back in there by themselves. The room I was staying in was a particular offense. The Pullman car is no longer inside that rail yard. Next story. Anyone living in the Southeast Appalachian area likely knows of the serial killer that stalked West North Carolina, Northeast Georgia, Southwest, South Carolina, and on down into Florida. A year to the very day before he murdered the Bryants, a senior couple camped off Yellow Gap Road, for which he was sentenced to death and he's still in prison, I'd encounter with him just 100 yards or so distant from where he jumped the Bryants. I was camped for a night. I had gone up there sort of on a whim. It was a pleasant afternoon, so I grabbed some gear and went. At the time, I had an adult, Jack Russell. He belonged to a longtime friend of mine who had died suddenly, but not really unexpectedly. We knew he was killing himself with pills and booze, and I took the dog in. He was in dog heaven with me. Unfortunately, I was having to make occasional trips up to Richmond for treatment and had trouble finding dog sitter, so I let a cousin adopt him. Anyway, I had the dog with me on this campout. It was near dusk, and I was sitting, looking into the fire when the dog, which was bedded down on an old blanket I tossed out, came out from behind my pickup, looking back towards the gravel road. I've been known to pull a cork from a bottle of red, and had that day, so I was not situational aware at all. There was no one around when I got to my site, as it was the middle of the week, and I wasn't expecting any sort of visitor or trouble. I always carry a .22 revolver, a 9-shot, on my shoulder rig while in the woods, and I had it on me. I didn't pick up that the dog sensed something. I just thought he wanted water or to go scratch. I had already fixed supper and canned stews and biscuits on a stick, and we had bellyfuls. Directly, he growled while looking in the same direction. I figured it was a critter stirring upon smell or at our supper, and spoke to the dog something about that. He growled a bit more, and I had a sense of foreboding, so I turned to look the way he was. There was Hilton, about 50 feet distant, holding a rucksack in his hands, a creepy-looking sort of man with cold eyes. I immediately felt threatened. I'm a good-sized fella. I have martial arts skill, military, self-defense, and was quite a pugilist back in the day, so I don't spook easily. I got spooked then. I got to my feet, was sideways to him. I didn't say anything then. He took another couple of steps toward me, and I turned completely to face him, saying, "What's the trouble, friend?" He started. I think he saw my pistol. He said, "Oh, no trouble. I'm just scouting around." I told him, "You should holler out when approaching a camp, buddy. You could startle a person and cause trouble slipping around like that." He didn't reply, then I told him to get gone, whereupon he made considerable hasty parting. He could not have taken me man to man, but I'm wondering what he would have done, and also what he had in that pack. Anyway, I had my bedroll in my truck bed, so a couple or 3 hours later, me and the dog bedded down to a restless night. I didn't see him again, nor did I see where he had made any camp the next day on the way out. Likely he was camped further down the road. The next year the Bryants were missing. Their son made inquiries after not hearing from them by cell phone, and a search was made. He knew they were camped out somewhere in Yellow Gap. Sadly, his mom's body was found. She'd been whacked in the head violently, a killing blow with a hatchet. Her husband was missing, and his remains found about 2 months later in the Nantahala Forest by a hunter. In this year's span, Hilton murdered a young lady who was camped with her dog in northeast Georgia. He actually kidnapped her for several days, sexually abusing her before he killed and decapitated her. Law enforcement suspected him of several other murders of campers all the way down to Florida. He was captured finally when he used one of his victim's credit cards for a purchase down in northeast Georgia. I've many times thought, what if, and one if, is if I had offered that devil at least 3 other fine people would have lived. There's not a jury in this county that would have convicted me if I was charged. He already had a rap sheet for assaults. Next story. In the late 70s, with some vacation time saved up and not much money to do anything with it, my buddy Joel and I decided to take a trip to Florida to visit my brother who lived there. We figured we could enjoy the beach for a while on the cheap. We decided to drive from Minnesota east, then down the east coast, camping along the way in his conversion van. It was a scenic trip we had done before, only this time we brought his fiance and my wife for their first trip down there. Right from the get-go, I got sick. It was something I ate, but pretty much had me laying in the van the whole trip. The extreme heat that summer didn't help. Anyway, from the first campsite to the last, we noticed the presence of police cruisers patrolling the campgrounds. We thought it was kind of weird, not having seen anything like that back home, but attributed it to maybe more crime out east and protecting the heavy tourist traffic in the area. We did notice that it appeared that they were directing more attention to our van, and it looked like they occasionally staked us out for observation. We pretty much ignored them. We weren't doing anything illegal and just went about our trip as usual, trying not to attract unwanted attention. Eventually, at the last campsite, an older cop approached us and asked us the usual questions. We told him what we were doing, and it satisfied his curiosity. Eyeing our attractive female companions, he told us to be careful, as a serial killer was on the loose. He explained that the killer had been working the very same campsites we had been staying at, apparently either a step ahead or behind us all the way. I'm not sure if this was the same guy, but I came to the conclusion there's a lot of them weird guys preying on unsuspecting travelers. Next story. When I was 5 or 6, I remember hearing my mom awake and crying in the middle of the night. I asked her what was wrong, and she said that my dad, who worked at a hospital, usually came home by midnight, and it was already 3 a.m. Plus, a severe storm had hit the area, so the road conditions were very hazardous. She called the hospital, and they told her he left at his normal time. This was before the era of the cell phone, so there was no way to contact him. My dad, as I said before, was a very serious person and was really not tempted by late-night vices that would cause a man to come home later than usual, so my mom knew something was wrong. So she stayed up praying and crying, knowing that something was not right. About 30 minutes later, my dad came walking through the front door, completely soaked and covered in mud. He went on to explain that while he was driving home, he got a flat tire driving his Astro van, so he pulled over to the side of the freeway next to an embankment. The Astro van had a spare underneath the carriage, so he began to crawl under the van to retrieve the spare. He went on to tell us that he laid under the van and began to unbolt a spare tire, and he heard a loud inner voice yell, "Move!" My dad is a stubborn man, so he said that he felt as though the fear of the night combined with the bad weather and the hazardous situation was probably making him paranoid, so he did not move. Just as he was about to continue removing the spare, he felt a tight grip on his ankles, which were exposed to the rain, and he felt a sensation of a strong pull, and the next thing he remembers, he hears the sound of screeching and metal on metal behind him. When he began to orient himself, he's still laying on his back, but about 15 feet down, way down the embankment, away from what is now a twisted wreckage between his van and a drunk driver in a Ford Bronco who smashed into the rear of my dad's van at over 50 miles an hour. Someone or something or some spiritual being had moved my dad from underneath that van and saved his life. To this day, I realize that not only was my dad's life spared that day, but so was my mom's, my sister, and myself. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and mom would have been completely devastated by the loss of my father. Our world would have been turned upside down, and my life would have headed down a much different path. Next story. I was visiting my friend in California when he decided to relive the good old days and go hiking in the mountains. We stopped by a sporting goods store to pick up some stuff. We drove for about 45 minutes into the hills and started to reach higher elevations and decided to stop for a meal at a diner. Finished up our meal, cleaned up, and continued on our way. Once we were close to a trail we saw, we decided to park and start unpacking our stuff. The whole time we were unloading our stuff, I had a feeling that something was off. I didn't feel threatened or anything, but just something was weird. I stood there looking around for a few seconds. My buddy noticed that I stopped moving and asked me what was up. I passed it off and told him it was just admiring the view, shrugged, and we finished unpacking. I had a backpack and a cheap knife that I'd purchased from the sporting goods store. He also had a pack and he carried a tomahawk with him. We set off onto the trail at a steady pace, quick enough just so we wouldn't get tired too quickly. After walking for 30 minutes, the trail led to a creek that was surrounded by huge rocks on both sides. Without thinking twice about it, we jumped on the rocks and continued to follow the creek. I'm not sure how to phrase this, but the longer we hiked, the creek seemed to be getting smaller. Eventually, we ended up at a spot where the creek flowed into a pond. We decided to rest there, and we were chit-chatting and whatnot. I said, "Wouldn't it be sweet if we found 2 Cokes, one for you and one for me?" He agreed and said we should continue. After walking about 40 feet, I saw something metallic shining in the dried-up creek about 15 feet ahead of us. To my amazement, there were 2 Cokes, just sitting there. My jaw kind of dropped, and I said out loud, "No effing way." My buddy picked them up. He said they were still cold, and they both looked really new, which they did. There was no dirt on the lids or the sides of the cans, just a little dirt on the bottom from where they were sitting. He handed me one, and we had a little toast. After I popped open my can, I had an eerie feeling around me. He didn't seem to notice it until I mentioned it to him. He paused and listened. The only sound we heard was the creek. No animals, no nothing. I could tell he was getting creeped out too, so we decided to head back. The whole time we were hiking back to the truck, we didn't say a word. He was ahead and signaled me to stop. I couldn't see anything, just him holding up his hand in that halt position. "What is it?" I asked him. It was just silent, and then still, he finally replied, "I thought I saw something." Kind of made me more creeped out than I was, but we continued on without a hitch. After we got to the truck, we threw our stuff into the truck bed and drove straight home, talking here and there about how weird it was that we wanted two Cokes and it showed up. Letting our imaginations run free, when we got back into town, we visited my grandma and I told her what happened. She just kind of looked at us and told that if we kept on hiking down that trail, something bad would have happened to us since we took the offering. I wasn't sure what it meant, but it gave me the heebie-jeebies and I decided to change the subject. My buddy's face was flushed white and I could tell he was freaking out. Although nothing bad ever really happened to either of us after that day, whenever I head out into the woods, I never ask for anything ever again. Next story. This story takes place when I was hunting with my stepdad. We packed heavy because we were planning on staying for a few days. I remember we left at around 12 a.m. and got to our spot in about 3 hours. The whole way up, we didn't see any vehicles parked off to the side, so we had an early start. My stepdad at the time owned a white Toyota 4x4, the ones that could seat four people, but whoever was sitting in the back were going to get leg cramps. Anyway, we sat around in the truck just talking for a while. I grabbed my pack, gun, and the bedroll. My stepdad got his stuff and we were off. I wasn't too familiar with the spot, but we hiked the trails for quite some time. He led me to his usual spot and told me he was going to go to his other spot a little way further up. We told each other good luck and he set off. It was still pretty dark, but moving around at dark never bothered me. I enjoyed the solidarity. I dozed off and was awoken by some birds squawking at each other. By now the sun was just starting to come up and I could see the blue hue of morning light in the mountains. I sat there for a few hours with nothing happening. No game, just birds and the chipmunks every now and then. My walkie-talkie made this low battery sound. I checked it and the battery indicator was flashing. Weird, I thought to myself, I haven't used it at all, but maybe they were just a bad batch of batteries. I switched them out with new ones that we bought before our trip to the mountain, and now my walkie was up and good again. About an hour went by and I was just listening to the birds and whatnot and feeling okay. Then suddenly I get the creepy feeling that I wasn't alone. Just then my walkie starts making the noise it did when the battery went low. I checked it and what do you know? Battery indicator is flashing again. Just as I was about to pop the batteries out, a voice cracks through my walkie. It was a low mumbling, barely audible voice. I put the walkie right up to my ear and I couldn't make out what the guy was saying. Sounded foreign, almost caveman-like. Then it just stopped. I sat there, pretty damn puzzled. I radioed my stepdad and asked him if he was trying to reach me. "No, but you gotta keep radio silence for now," he told me. "Okay," I answered him, still pretty damn baffled. I switched out my batteries again, and these were my last backup set. I was reaching for something to snack on when I heard the voice over my walkie again. Kind of surprised and startled, I fumbled around looking for my walkie. Finally found it, and the same voice was coming through. That same low mumbling sort of voice. Whatever he was saying, it didn't sound right to me. And again, it just cut out. I asked my dad if he was on the walkie. Again, he said no. It must have been noon and my dad radioed me. He sounded out of breath and he told me to meet him on the trail. I got my stuff and hurried to the trail. A few minutes later, I saw my dad and he had a concerned look on his face. He was usually calm and collected. We hiked back to the trail and my dad made sure I was in front. He would periodically walk facing towards the back of us. Thought it was weird, but didn't think too much of it. When we got to his truck, he opened his door and threw his stuff in the truck bed. At the same time, told me to bring my gun in the car. I did as he said, and I started to feel worried now. I asked him what's going on, and this is what he said. I heard a loud, low groaning to my left. Then it sounded like someone was directly to my right and said, "Hey." The way he said "hey" was a low, hushed, dragged-on type of "hey." He said that's when he grabbed his stuff and hightailed it. I told him about what I was hearing over the walkie, and he said he didn't hear any of that stuff, but that I should have let him know. We drove around a bit and came across a forest ranger, asked him if there was any weird goings on around or someone was missing. No and no was his answer. He asked us why, and we told him. He just kind of looked at us funny and told us we should be on our way and be careful. Me and my stepdad are fairly close, and this is one of those things we don't talk about. Few people have ever heard this story. And what can I say? It still gives me goosebumps. Next story. I've lived in remote wooded areas all of my life. I'm 35 and employed as a deputy sheriff. The first time I ever felt this scared, overwhelming feeling was when I was about 14 years old. My parents owned a 1-acre parcel of land, and behind us was another undeveloped parcel of land that butted up against a paved road. Of course, my friends lived behind me, so me and my best friends built a trail across the property to the road. We swept the ground of all dry leaves and pine needles to bare soil. I could walk that trail blindfolded if I had to when I was younger. It also helped that if you stepped off the trail, the leaves crunched. Anyway, me and my friend were walking back to my house at around 10 p.m. on a summer night. As I neared the end of the paved road where the trail began, I started to have this weird feeling. I started to feel very afraid. I'd never felt this way before. So afraid I felt like turning to run. I stopped at the edge of the road and looked down into the woods. It was very dark on this particular night. About 30 feet down the trail, I could make out the outline of something right in the middle of the trail. There were lights behind the object from the house next to mine, but very far away, so they didn't help much. I asked my friend if he saw it, and he said he did. We stood still whispering for several minutes about what to do. We both agreed we made this trail and knew there should be nothing in the middle of it. It appeared to be an old stump about 6 feet tall. It was kind of hard to judge the height because it was lower down the hill than we were. We started joking around a bit, trying to feel better about it. I told my friend to throw rocks at it and see what happened. He tossed a few rocks, missing it, but anyway, it didn't move. I heard a car coming from behind us, and the headlights were shining into the trees because the trail was on a corner of the roadway. As the car passed, the lights shone into the trees for a very brief moment. The lights hit the object in the trail perfectly. We saw something standing on the trail looking at us. It was shaped like a man, not an animal. It was covered in brown and black hair from head to feet. I could not see its face because the lights passed too fast. It was almost like a cousin of the Addams Family, but with really nasty hair. Me and my friend never said a word. We just turned and ran at the same time. I stayed on the paved road and ran home about 2 miles without stopping. I probably could have won a medal if someone timed me on that run. The entire time I felt the fear behind me as if I was being chased. But I never looked back. I knew I would be okay as long as I was faster than my friend running with me. The next day we checked the area and the light, and there was nothing there. No tracks, no hair. We never talked about it again. I thought back on it several times, and I don't know if it was a Bigfoot or some guy in a hairy suit, but that feeling of fear I have never felt from a man. I still have gone out in the woods several times and have felt that same fear feeling on a handful of occasions, but nothing came of them. Then, a few years ago, I went camping with my wife in southern Oregon at Howard Prairie Lake. It was late in the year and we were the only people at the campground other than one single guy camped behind us. We had a great time and everything went smooth up until the second night. Me and my wife woke in the middle of the night, both at the same time. Something on the other side of the lake was making this crazy howling noise. It sounded like Tarzan. It was insanely loud for how far away it was. I realized that it had this fear overtake my entire body. It was like a thick fog inside the tent. I could not believe or overcome how scared I was. Our two dogs, Golden Retriever and a Basset Hound, whined with their ears down as if they were scared and jumped in bed with us. My wife had the same scared feeling come over her, and she'd been outdoor hunter her entire life. The noise I heard was the same noise I heard on a video of Bigfoot noises while messing around the computer. I just laid there gripping my .45 trying to listen. After about 10 minutes, a second call came from my side of the lake about 300 yards away from the tent. They called to each other back and forth while we held still. The fear was absolutely unbelievable. The noise was like nothing I had ever heard, and the vocals were so loud and deep. I previously worked as a solo deputy in a happy camp, California, for years. I never had any experience like this. My nearest backup was 78 miles away, and I had several calls solo in the woods with dead bodies, etc. I was never fearful in any situation up until this day. Eventually, the call stopped, and the fear left my body instantly. Afterwards, I felt so calm, I just fell asleep. The next morning, I asked the guy camping next to me if he heard it, and he had pretty much the same scared experience that we felt. I also never saw our dogs get scared like that before. Normally, they want to get out at whatever's making the noise. Again, this could be explained by humans making calls with loudspeakers to freak people out, but nothing can explain that fear that comes over you. Since then, I've been camping, hiking, etc., with no other abnormal happenings, no scared feelings, and of course, no strange noises.